Thank you, Jerry. And it is time to Blue Jays Talk It Up. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance. 1-888-666-0590. Tough one to handle. Blue Jays go deep five times. Two homers each for Russell Martin and Josh Donaldson. But the pitching can't hold it. Drew Hutchison doesn't give them five innings. And Brett Cecil gives up two home runs in the eighth inning, coming in a 5-5 tie. Again, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. And long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We begin with Justin in Mississauga, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Justin, you're the leadoff man. Go ahead.
Thanks so much, Mike. Hopefully I don't have to get you talking too much, but a few quick points. Nothing too negative about the team. I don't think anybody needs to be on the ledge right now. My biggest concern is last year's pattern was simple. We win four, lose four, win five, lose five, win three, lose three. I really hope it's not the start of something that repeated last year.
That wasn't last year's pattern at all, though, right, Justin? You know that.
Well, we were just a 500 ball club. We just, well, you know, at the time, at one point, it just...
They had 83 wins last year. They went on a run where they won 20 out of 24 at one point, and they went on a run where they lost, I think, 11 out of 13 at one point. This certainly was not a win three, lose three, win four, lose four team last year by any means.
Well, I'm referencing the fact that we got so much ahead and we gave it all back. But I mean, again, my only thing is I'm not too concerned. I just hope that this isn't the same pattern. Like, we just get on a run and keep it. I just want to make a comment about Pilar. I think it's his job. I think the Blue Jays have an awesome position, that the fact that they don't have to, drop this guy out of hat. But Michael Saunders, I think he's done. I think actually the Blue Jays should let Pilar run and forget about the injury coming back from that. I hope to God they give this guy the chance. And I think we found ourselves a bona fide left center, and Michael Saunders might be trade bait.
Yeah, there's no chance of that. But I appreciate the call, Justin. Thank you. We've seen Kevin Pillar look very good in 11 games, and I think he has, I don't like to talk about the hypotheticals, because things could happen between now and when Michael Saunders is ready to come back. I mean, Saunders has been out all week with a hamstring thing down in Dunedin. He's not going to be back on this homestand. He might hook up with the Blue Jays next Friday night. It's still a week away, and all kinds of things could happen over the course of the next week. So it's really unfair to discuss it. I mean, you want an answer, what happens when Michael Saunders comes back, but the answer is we don't know. And we're not going to know until Michael Saunders is ready to come back. The idea that when Saunders comes back, he should go to the bench or he should be trade bait is lunacy. I mean, that's just, it's silliness. It's not going to happen. Brian in Saskatoon, listening on the Rogers Radio app. Brian, you're next on Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike. I noticed Dalton Pompey's been scuffling at the plate a little bit.
Yep.
What's your thoughts on that? Do you think they'll stick with a four-man outfielder? Do you think he could be sent down if this keeps happening? Or is it just too early to tell?
It's definitely too early to tell. We're 11 games in. But, I mean, we're not seeing what we want to see as far as the results are concerned from Pompey, and he's actually looked a little shaky in the outfield too, which is very strange and not what you expect to see from him. But he's got at least another week of everyday at-bats until Saunders is ready, and at that point in time, then a decision might have to be made. But, you can't give a kid a job and then pull the rug out from under him after a dozen games or after 15 games. You have to let them have some at-bats and get into a groove, 100, 150 plate appearances. And when Saunders comes back, you've got a problem and you need to find room for him. So, assuming nothing changes in the next week, which is a crazy assumption, then a decision may have to be made, but we'll have to see, and we've got a week to figure it out. But Pompey, he's still, his approach still looks good. He's not flailing away. He's not digging himself holes and, making quick outs on bad pitches or anything like that. He's just not getting the results. We'll have to see if it continues.
Would you try him as our leadoff hitter? You think they would try that?
Pompey?
Yeah, because he's a switch hitter.
So's Deonner Navarro. I don't want him leading off.
Okay, because somebody else from the other network suggested that, because the other person said he's ideally, that would probably be ideally best for him.
Well, moving a guy up in the order to get him going is generally not a good idea. I think if you want to hit at the top of the order, you have to earn your way there. And, you know, I'm not going to take a struggling guy and say, you know what, I want you coming to the plate more than anybody else, and we'll see if that works. I don't want to see if it works. I want someone to earn his way up in the line.
And that could put more pressure on him probably, right?
Whether it does or it doesn't is irrelevant.
Okay.
He hasn't earned it.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Mike.
All right, thank you. Appreciate the call, Brian. Blue Jays lose at 8-7 to the Atlanta Braves again. The first time in franchise history that they've hit 5 home runs in a game at home and lost. It is the 45th game in franchise history in which they've hit at least 5 home runs in a game. They are now 41-4 in such games. Rocky in Markham, listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Rocky.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call once again. I just want to talk about the lineup, how Travis was batting leadoff, and it was interesting. There was no explanation. You see the way he approached the plate. I was thinking, if once a healthy Reyes is back, would you put Devin Travis at the 2 and possibly at Donaldson at number 3? Because we know that Donaldson batted number 3 for Oakland behind, and then Cespedes at number 4, and we know that the history of the way of Josh Donaldson batting, and he seems comfortable possibly at the 2 or number 3, and then you could put Bautista at the 4 and Encarnacion at the 5, because we know that those three are probably the best 3, 4, 5 hitters in the league. And my other question to you is this. Once Michael Saunders comes back, who do you think, which player do you think is going to get sent down to the minors?
I already answered the Saunders question. And as far as moving Donaldson down to 3 and having the best 3, 4, 5, why wouldn't you want to have the best 2, 3, 4?
Because the way Travis is hitting, he's batted at the 9th and he's been hitting well, and then he was batting at the 1 and it shows that nothing has changed, right? So I would like to see Travis in number 2 because he seems to be having a hot bat for the Jays, and then we know that Reyes is a leadoff hitter regardless, right? So I would like to see Reyes, Travis, and then Donaldson, and then Bautista and Encarnacion, right? Which to me it makes sense, but it depends how John Gibbons plays out his cards, right? So
I want to see Donaldson, Bautista, and Encarnacion getting as many plate appearances as possible. I agree with you on what Travis has done. I'm loving every second of watching Devin Travis. He's going to be in the leadoff spot all weekend and, you know, maybe longer if Jose Reyes has to go on the disabled list. But I do like the Donaldson 2, Bautista 3, Edwin 4 idea. Maybe if Travis keeps hitting, you hit him 5. It's tough to imagine. It's impossible to imagine him keeping this up, to be honest with you. But it's a wonderful, wonderful start, and he's definitely showing himself to be a big league ready hitter. I just, you know, you have 3 proven, really, really good hitters in Donaldson, Encarnacion, and Bautista, and I want to see them as much as possible.
Right, and I think John Gibbons will continue to play it out and see what will best fit throughout the season, because we are just still early. So I understand what John Gibbons is doing. And you know what? I think once he figures out what's the best lineup on an everyday basis, I think this team will be just fine.
Yeah, I don't know that. And I appreciate the call, Rocky. I don't know that he's struggling to figure out what the best lineup is for the team on an everyday basis. I think he had it yesterday, and then Reyes got hurt. So you have to make a switch, and you kind of have to be adaptable to that stuff because you're just not going to have your guys available as often as you want them, unfortunately. But I like the way this lineup works. I think he's using Deonner Navarro a little bit too much right now. And that's because he's a loyal guy, and Navarro got some very big hits for the Blue Jays last year. There's no denying that. But I think that I would like to see Justin Smoke in the lineup more often. And, you know, I didn't like that Smoke was pinch hit for last night by Navarro and stuff like that. But I don't know if that's going to change as long as Navarro is still here. Blue Jays lose it 8-7 to the Braves. And we are taking your calls to the top of the hour. Frank in Grimsby, listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Frank.
Hi, Mike. It's a first-time caller, and it's nice to come on the show. It's a tough game to lose tonight. The thing that I have a problem with is our bullpen. It seems that every time we seem to have a lead or every time we try to be, you know, stay in front, it's blown. It's either Loop or it's Cecil tonight. Is there any help on the farm for the team in the future, or are we going to have to go outside the organization? Because we don't want to fall too far behind Boston and Baltimore here.
You realize that they're 5-6, right?
Well, I realize it's 5-6, and I realize it's early in the season, but home is where we're supposed to make some hay, and, you know, we're 1-4.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. It's true.
Yeah. And,
it's been a bad week at home.
It's just that we just like to see the guys hang in there, and I know they'll eventually turn this around, but I don't know if it's just a lack of confidence in our bullpen or what. I'm not sure where to put the finger right now.
Well, what it is that the bullpen's had a couple of pretty nice blow-ups. They've also had a bunch of very nice games that people, you know, don't remember because this stuff happens. They've been shut down completely offensively three times. And there's just been a real lack of consistency. And that's how you get to 5-6 or even 5-5 or 6-5. But for me, I kind of take some solace in the fact that it's been Cecil and Loop who've been the biggest culprits in the bullpen, because they're guys who have track records of being pretty reliable out there. You know, if it was the young guys getting lit up, if it was Estrada getting lit up or Liam Hendricks getting lit up, we would think, oh, geez, you know what? They didn't do anything with the bullpen in the off season, and the only guys we could rely on were Cecil and Loop, and everybody else is terrible. But it hasn't been that at all. It's the guys you thought you could rely on who've had struggles.
Well, here's hoping that they straighten things out and hope for a great season ahead. And I like the show, and keep up the good work, guys.
Thanks, Frank, and thanks for calling in for the first time. We do appreciate that. Keep them coming. It's tough because they're 1-4 at home, because that 1-4 is what's sitting right in front of you. And I mean that as in a general sense, the general you. They've lost 4 of their last 5 games, and they have not looked good in doing it, which makes it as easy to believe that they are this as it was to believe last Sunday when they won a series in New York and won a series in Baltimore, that they were that good, except that happened first. So, and it's Toronto. So you always want to believe the negative because it's Toronto, because we can't have nice things in this city. But the reality is that 11 games in, they're 1 game under 500. And this remains a very, very good baseball team. It just happens not to be playing well right now. Drew is in Alabama listening on Sirius XM Radio. Hey, Drew.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I was obviously listening to the game on satellite. I'm a Braves fan, but I was listening to, obviously, the Toronto broadcast. And I just want to say it was a great your play-by-play announcer and color announcer just did a great job calling the game. And usually I dread listening to the home team's broadcast when the Braves are playing away. But, this was enjoyable. If I'm on the road tomorrow when the Braves play, I'll definitely listen to y'all on XM versus streaming it through my bad app. Like I said, it was just very enjoyable broadcast. It sucks the game turned out poorly for you guys, but hey, I'm you all have a quality team. I'm sure wouldn't surprise me at all if y'all take two of the three, or even or just one of them. Again, y'all have a great team.
Yeah, we could use more fans like you up here, Drew. Thank you.
Hey, no problem.
And of course, the game that I don't do any play-by-play is the game we get the call to talk about how great our broadcast is. So thank you, though. I appreciate that call. And we will take more at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. More your calls coming up. Blue Jays lose at 8-7 to the Braves, the opener of this three-game weekend set in front of just over 21,000 people. And before we get to the next call, let's hear from the skipper. Here's what John Gibbons had to say in the wake of tonight's 8-7 loss.
Gibby, after a game like that, what concerns you the most right now?
Well, I tell you, I'm encouraged by a lot of things we saw tonight. You know, the bats came to life. In a number of home runs. You know, Russell had a couple, and, you know, Josh. So feel good about that. We got out to that 4-2 lead. We weren't able to lock that down. That bothers you. Just one of those nights. You know, it's going to be a slugfest. The ball was flying everywhere. And, you know, they ended up getting that one more than we did. But so that's frustrating because, in the end, you know, you feel like you can win those games. Of course, we didn't, but that's the frustrating part.
This season, I think you're 0-5 or maybe 0-6 in one-run games. How important is winning one-run games?
Well, I mean, it's big. I mean, those are your tight ball games. I mean, but it's important to win every game, really. Maybe it's a pitch or two right here or there, that big hit at the right time. You know, that's usually what it comes down to. So, we're skunk. We're zero for that right here. That'll change. I got a good feeling that'll change. But, it means you're playing tight ball games, and eventually you got to win those.
What's Russell been working on, and what did you see as a result from that tonight?
Well, you know, with Russ, it's just a matter of time. I mean, he's a good hitter. He's been doing all his work in the cage and on the field, I think it's just a matter of, you know, getting that one big hit to get him off, you know, to get him going, really. You look where he hit the balls too, right center and then right. I mean, that's always a good sign. He's, you know, letting the ball travel, and he's got a lightning quick bat, so that's what he really wants to do. You know, most hitters when they're out front early, they get a lot of rollovers. You know, your swing doesn't quite work that way, but I mean, he had the perfect swing tonight.
Gibby, on the rundown that Pilar got caught on, one, do you think that he was a bit too aggressive there on a ball that's hit to his right? And two, what was the explanation on not getting a runner interference there?
Well, I mean, it's his judgment call, and I totally understand what Hallion does, because I've seen a number of plays when, you know, the runner, the base runner will make a move to initiate contact, so I get that. Because, you know, he's as far as the over-aggressive, I thought he was. He's already in scoring position. And arguably probably the best shortstop in all of baseball is on the other side, you know, so he's quick and he's heads up and, you know, he's gonna take that out. Not everybody might, but he will. So, the key is if you're already in scoring position.
In your view, why was Hutchison struggling tonight?
I mean, good question. It was kind of in and out. You know, I mean, at times he's popping that fastball, locating. It's generally what happens to him all the time. If he starts scattering it. But, you know, if you think about it, I mean, it's pretty generic what happens to most pitchers, you know. I mean, it's a game of being able to locate your fastball, you know, flip some off-speed stuff behind the count and being able to get that over. I mean, it really works for all of them. I mean, there's very few guys, I don't even know if you can count them on one hand, that you can just flat-out overpower you, whether they're on or not. I mean, that just doesn't happen. So, really, I mean, it comes to locating the ball. And working ahead. I mean, you know, pitchers, when they work ahead, they get outs. When they fall behind, it's just the reverse for, you know, hitters. When hitters are ahead in the count, I mean, they're much better hitters. It's just kind of, I mean, that's the way the game works really for everybody.
Last question. John, the staff is high up in walks and home runs allowed so far this year. At what point does that become a concerning trend?
Well, we have given a bunch of both those things you're talking about. I don't think that's going to be an issue over the 6 months, to be honest with you. But I mean, that's that causes problems. I mean, that's how you lose, no doubt about it. I mean, it's you know, it's pretty obvious.
So there's John Gibbons sounding only slightly better than me right now, in the wake of the Blue Jays 8-7 loss to the Atlanta Braves tonight. The Blue Jays pitchers issue 5 walks, but really the culprit was the long ball, more than not. The home runs by Johnny Gomes and Freddie Freeman in the 8th inning to break a 5-5 tie. And in the 5th, with the Blue Jays up 4-2, it wasn't the long ball. It was a base hit by Nick Markakis that Dalton Pompey got a bad read on that really opened the floodgates. And then with 2 out, a 2-run double by Andrelton Simmons. And Roberto Osuna comes in to give up an RBI triple to Jace Peterson that gave the Braves the lead. The Blue Jays did tie it up right away on Josh Donaldson's 2nd home run of the night. But Braves got the next 3, and the Blue Jays could only manage another 2. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Jeff in Toronto, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the radio and stuff.
Hey, how you doing?
You can probably tell.
Well, you know what? I listen to the show, I listen to the callers, I listen to people that try very hard to love what's going on, and they don't really have I don't know, I've been following baseball all my life. I am pleased as punch with this team. I think that the pitching is absolutely stellar. To bring up 2 guys out of the first wave or the second wave of the work Alex did back when he was signing free agents, getting sandwich picks, are just getting here. We're just getting started. The young guys are looking great. And, I mean, it's baseball. If you win 2 out of 3 games, you win 105 games. You win everything. And I just think that everybody is kind of worried about a little too much right now. We're 11 games in. Let the dust settle. We just put a new club together. But I think we could use one more pitcher. I think we might, if we made a move for one more pitcher, move Aaron back into the pen, everything would settle and be fine. Everybody's good. I don't understand why people are so worried. This team is very good, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on what you would think about getting one more pitcher.
Well, I mean, everyone could always use more pitching, right?
Sure,
I would like to see what Aaron Sanchez can do as a starter before giving up on that and sending him to the bullpen.
I agree, but I wouldn't really give up. I wouldn't think that would be giving up on. Just let the dust settle. Let him in. Let him come in a little slowly. There may be a little too much pressure on him. Norris is ready for sure. You know what I mean?
Well, why is there less pressure on Norris than there is on Sanchez?
I don't know.
There isn't. That's why.
But I just am. I am so happy that we didn't trade away the future last year, and we're moving through in a proper fashion to build a franchise that wins, not a team that wins once.
Well, let's hope so. Let's hope so. I appreciate the call, Jeff. People are worried, obviously, because the Blue Jays have lost 4 of 5, because on days where they pitch, they don't hit, and on days where they hit, they don't pitch, at least in the 6 losses. And because they haven't been to the playoffs in 22 years. And for some reason, there seems to be in some people's mind a link between 1994 and 2015. There isn't. But it's Toronto. And in Toronto, the thing to do is to not be happy about your sports team. Because the honest truth is, Toronto sports teams haven't given their fans much to be happy about over the last 2 decades. So, you know, you don't want to get your hopes up, which is too bad. But it'll take until a team wins or at least does something, gets deep into the playoffs, wins a couple rounds, something like that, I think, for people to shake that. Although, who knows? It may never change. Chris in Kingston. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Go ahead.
So just a quick question here. Do you remember last year when the Jays called on a pinch hitter? I can't remember the teams, but the other team's manager brought a pitcher in to face that hitter to get the matchup he wanted. But then Gibby went to his bench again and basically burned that pitcher or that pinch hitter for another one.
I don't remember the specific event, but yeah, that happens a lot.
Yeah, and I think last year it made Gibby look awesome because I think Buddy got a hit or they won or something, but everybody was praising him for it.
Okay.
So my question tonight, just hypothetically, because I love Gibby, he's a great manager, but he brings Cecil into pitch, right?
Yep.
And Atlanta goes to the bench and gets Johnny Gomes up.
Yep.
And I think Greg Zahn said he was 4-for-8 or something against him.
5-for-8, yeah.
So say Gibby wants a different pitcher in that situation.
Nope.
When he brings a pinch hitter in.
Can't do it.
Can he? He can't. He has to face one batter,
against the rules.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, no, that's what I was just wondering. I wasn't sure about the rule.
That's okay, you're in pretty good company. The Astros manager last year didn't know that rule either.
That's right, I do remember that. All right, well, you have a good night, and take care of that voice, and love listening to you on the radio.
Thank you, appreciate the
call.
You're
welcome, thank you.
Yeah, once you go to a pitcher, he must face one batter before he can go to somebody else. Basil in Peterborough, hello.
How are you, Mike?
You can tell, can't you?
Yeah, that second last caller, I just don't know where he's coming from about the pitching.
Well, he's right. They're all really good. They're not all pitching well right now.
I think Brett Cecil, Mike, is, if you look at what he's done this year, even in spring training, I think he's lost it completely.
Well, that's ridiculous. You know that, right?
Oh, it's not ridiculous.
Of course it's ridiculous. What did he do in the outing before this one?
I don't know.
He faced one batter, struck him out on 3 pitches. Yeah. What did he do in the outing before that one?
Well, Mike.
Pitched a shutout inning. The outing before that one, pitched a shutout inning. So he's had 2 bad outings.
Yeah.
But, out of 5 or 6.
He got a late start in spring training, as you recall.
He got what?
A late start.
Yeah, yeah. He had the shoulder thing. I think he only pitched like 2 innings in spring training.
Exactly. So I'd be resting him for a while. I don't know what they're going to do with him, but they're hitting him. They're lights out with him.
Again, 3 lights out outings before this one.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to deny that that happened, that's okay. But then that means you're delusional. What you should do is recognize that. Okay, he's pitched 5 times. He's been crap twice. He's been really good 3 times.
Mm.
That doesn't mean he's lost it.
Okay, and as far as Pompey is concerned, I would think when Saunders comes back, I think the wise move would be to give him more experience in Buffalo. Send him down to Buffalo.
We'll see. We've got a week still, at least a week, until Saunders is ready to come back.
Yeah, I'd give him another week and see. He just seems to be not in the game right now. He's certainly scuffling it, as we used to say years ago.
He is certainly scuffling.
He's scuffling.
Yes. Not in the game, though.
Okay, nice to talk to you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye.
Appreciate the call. Blue Jays lose 8-7 to the Atlantas tonight. And tomorrow, they got to face Alex Wood with R.A. Dickey on the mound. Mitch in Toronto. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Mike. I really like what the caller from Alabama said. Simply put, y'all got a quality ball club. And I really think that we do have an amazing ball club. I think there's absolutely no need to worry. There's a lot of positives that I'm seeing from the team. I mean, our hot bats right now, you got Devin Travis playing unbelievable. Our young pitchers, Osuna, Castro, are fantastic. I had the game last night. Sanchez had the ball moving so well. But, I mean, he's a young pitcher, so, you know, he's going to have some rough outings to start his career. But the games that we're losing are, you know, we're losing by 1. I think there was last night was a 2-run loss, but everything's been so close. Our bats that are struggling are Batista and Martin and Eddie, and they're pros. They're going to get it back. They're going to figure it all out. I think there's a lot of things to be excited about with this team. You know, good teams, maybe it takes them a little while to figure things out right off the hop at the start of the season. Cleveland Cavaliers this year, good example of that, but I think there's a lot to be excited about this team. No need to be worried whatsoever. Maybe we get to 10-20, maybe be worried a little bit, but I like the team that we have. I think it's fantastic.
10-20 would be concerning for sure. but I think you make a lot of good points. Look, it's important to realize that this team has, in 11 games, scored, how many runs have they scored? They've scored 62 runs in 11 games with Edwin Encarnacion, Jose Bautista, and Russell Martin all hitting under 210.
Yeah.
That's not insignificant.
They're gonna figure it out. They will. They're pros. That's why they get paid the millions.
Well, they have track records of especially Bautista and Encarnacion of being able to be very, very good hitters. And you're also right to note the bunch of one-run losses. These are games that could have gone either way but didn't, and you hope that that evens out at least over time. Yeah. But look, it's Toronto. People are going to be worried. And
I know.
It's all right.
I did have one other question that I wanted to run by.
Real quick.
I'm not doing too well. 2 years ago, I was an usher for the Jays. I saw a lot of baseball, especially bad baseball. They brought in Todd Redman as a starter in September, and I actually thought he was an unbelievable starter. If it came down to it, what are your thoughts about having someone like Todd Redman come in if we need like an emergency starter? Anyway, thanks. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I wonder if he gets through waivers and goes down to Buffalo, if they're going to put him in the rotation for just that gig. But I think Chad Jenkins would be one of my first calls. Scott Copeland's been terrific in Buffalo as well. Andrew Albers, those three before I would go to Todd Redman. Thanks for all the calls. Apologies to those of you to whom we could not get. We are plumb out of time. Blue Jays lose 8-7 to the Braves. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Mike Wilner will take your phone yells after the game. Eat Blue Jays talk. Pick up the phone and yell in to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
That's going to do it for us here at Rogers Center. The Blue Jays fall 8-7 to the Braves. The bats wake up, but the pitching wasn't there. They hope to have both those things together at the same time tomorrow afternoon. We'll be on at 12:30 p.m. Eastern for a 1:07 first pitch. It will be knuckled to the plate by R.A. Dickey. Opposing for the Braves will be the left-hander Alex Wood, who's pretty good. Although, you know what? Julio Teheran's pretty good, and the Blue Jays knocked him around something fierce tonight. See if maybe they can score some runs for R.A. Dickey. That would be a bit of a change. So make sure you join us tomorrow. You've been listening to Home Hardware. Blue Jays baseball brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. Again, tomorrow, 12:30 Eastern, for a 1:07 first pitch. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, Jason Leung, and Frank Head, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Rogers Center.